Are kids going, going, gone, going, not going, maybe thinking about it? All right. It's good to have the O'Briens with us. They gave a little update during Sunday school hour, and we're thankful for what the Lord is doing with them and just the sweet fellowship we have with them. I told them this week, I said, if you ever had to change a sending church, we're it. Minus the Ohio State thing. I mean, we won't have doctrine. We'll have no doctrinal questions for him. We don't care what his doctrine is. But when he shows up to my house with an Ohio State hat, and then he has an Ohio State hat as a gift to me, I put it on my head, took a picture, sent it to Webb, and I think, in fact, Webb's not even here. He left the church. I knew it. He's gone. He knows his kids are here, but Webb left church over. He's out of here. So other than that, I mean, we're in complete unison, and, you know, I mean, it just makes you question his salvation. Let me put it that way. Other than that, I think he's a great guy. His doctrine's good. His testimony of salvation is kind of troubling with that. But so on the back table is a pamphlet. If you were not here in Sunday school, grab that. And it tells you a lot about the work they're doing, Norway and so forth. And it's a blessing to be able to support them. Also, there's one copy left of the book Brother Waldron made on the regulative principle of the church. These were free. I asked you not to take 20, but one per family. I challenge you to read it. Not this book, but the regulative principle greatly guides us as a church in decisions we make as elders, especially when it comes to the aspect of the Lord's Day, which we've been looking at and we'll finish with today. Hopefully, I'm expecting questions to arise from this. Again, I told you from the beginning, I am not going to tell you what you can and cannot do on the Lord's Day. Okay? But we are going to look at today's going to be very practical. It's not expository, it's just practical principles from Scripture about the Lord's Day that I hope will guide each of us. Today is a day of rest. I think it's just a day to kind of relax a bit. So it's going to be 80 degrees, they say, this afternoon, and I'm going to go run 8 miles because that is the most relaxing, thrilling thing. I love it. I can't believe it's going to be 80. I love the heat, and I love to run in the heat. And I sweat out like Twinkie cream and fudge cake, little Debbie. I mean, I can't wait to go out there and do that. Some of you are like, that is absolute horror. I would die before I would want to go run 8 miles in 8 degrees. That's fine. Don't do it. Okay? It's not relaxing. It would stress you out more likely. All right? So I'm not getting into specific things that you can and cannot. You can mow your lawn if it's this size, but if it's this size, you can't mow it. You know, that we would fall into the trap of the Pharisees that they ran into there. Okay? But there are some principles, I think, that hopefully can guide us a little bit. If you remember, in Revelation chapter 1, John is on the isle. He's exiled. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He's not in a church service. Okay, which is interesting. There's not, as far as I know, there's not a local New Testament church. He might be starting one. I don't know if there's anyone else on the island with him. Usually there isn't, in a way. But he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And we looked at this, and I don't want to go too far back. We will a little bit review, but the Lord's Day here, it is God's day. It is the day of the Lord. And He was in the Spirit. It was a spiritual day. It is not saying that Monday through Saturday are just fleshly carnal days, but the truth is we are wrapped up in fleshly carnal endeavors. We work in a world system. We make money of a world exchange. We concern ourselves with world things. But the Lord's Day is not to be that. It's a day that belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord's Day. The phrase here, and we looked at it, the word translated here for the Lord's Day, it comes from curiosity, but it's a little different. It's a specific. It's showing ownership. It's possessive. It means this day belongs to the Lord. He owns the day. And we looked at the idea, the other passage that has that same word translated is in 1 Corinthians 11:20, where it talks about the Lord's Supper. We would never argue who owns the supper. It's His supper. Therefore, you nor I have any business altering the supper. It is His supper. I can't change the supper. The Lord's Supper is not an outreach program. It drives me nuts when people use the Lord's Supper as some sort of outreach. It's not an outreach. Okay, I don't have the right to change the ingredients. I don't get to use pizza instead of for the bread. I saw a church do that one time. It just cringed. So the supper belongs, it's his supper. In 1 Corinthians, Paul's addressing the fact that they are messing with the supper because it's not theirs. Well, that same word then is the only other place is here where it talks about this day is the Lord's day. It's not our day to mess with. You say, well, Pastor, so what can I do on the Lord's day? I'm not answering that for you. I'm telling you, today is the Lord's day, not 9:45 to 12:20. That's not the Lord's time. The day is the Lord's. So this is a day that God has set aside belonging to Him, for Him. This day belongs to Him. We're not saying there is a time that belongs to the Lord or that there is a church gathering that belongs to the Lord. No, this time as a church is the Lord's, but it doesn't end when we leave here. And I say 12:20 on average. At 12:21, it is, whew, we're done with the Lord today. No, we're done with our corporate worship today. But the Lord's Day did not end at that time. I'll read from the London Baptist Confession, chapter 22, paragraph 7. As it is the law of nature that in general a proportion of time by God's appointment be set apart for the worship of God, so by His word, in a positive moral and perpetual commandment, binding all men in all ages, He hath particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto Him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath, the observation of the last day of the week being abolished. So they cover here, there is a day that's the Lord. They address that before the resurrection. It would have been practiced on a Saturday. After the resurrection, it's practiced on the first day of the week, Sunday. And they refer to it, I believe, as the Christian Sabbath. I don't use the word Sabbath a lot. I don't feel like, you know, I think sometimes we sanctify old language as though we're more spiritual if I say Sabbath. Well, then we just lost our translation debate. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people, we should call it the Sabbath. Why? Well, that's, well, I don't think this is prescriptive that I have to call it the Sabbath. So I call it Sunday, the Lord's Day. In 1689, they gathered and said, there is a day, this is God's day. It's a day for the Lord. And then we looked at, when is the Lord's day? It is Sunday. I think that was 2 weeks ago. We looked at, Sunday is the Lord's day. We looked at Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, referring to the first day of the week. Other passages in historical practice show us that the first day of the week, Sunday, has become the Christian, as they would say, Sabbath, the Christian Lord's Day, that they would gather for worship. Justin Martyr said, and on the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together to one place, and the memories of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. Then, when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts to the imitation of these good things. So we see here, if Justin Martyr lived, I believe it was a hunt, well, he got saved around 130 A.D., died in 165. So somewhere in that time frame, he pens this, the church is meeting on Sunday. So historically, we see the church meeting on Sunday. Now, I want you to grasp this, though. Picture yourself. Let's just transplant ourselves back. We are in, we don't want to be in Corinth. I don't ever want to be Corinth. We're in Ephesus. Okay, that's a good church to be part of. We're in Ephesus. Sunday is our Lord's Day. Does the Greek-Roman culture at that time shut down on Sunday? Probably not. When we grew up in America where there was this semblance at Sunday, I mean, it's not as much now, but I mean, I grew up in the 80s. That's not that long ago. I don't think it was. But I can remember it was tough to find a gas station open. There weren't many restaurants. There were no Walmarts, but they weren't open. When I went to Bible college in 1989 in Greenville, South Carolina, no alcohol served between midnight Saturday and 6 in the morning on Monday. No restaurants could open till 1 o'clock in the state of South Carolina. This is 1989. So there was some semblance in our culture. This is a special day. But the early church in Ephesus, the culture don't care about their special day. A lot of times, it's possible they were meeting at night when they got done with the cares of their day. If you've got an employer, you've got to be to work. So we've kind of been blessed to have this entire day where our culture kind of shuts down, even in the secular sense. There's people that work, but not as many. I mean, it's just, for most people, Sunday's a day off. So we've been blessed to have that entire day, but it was not given to us to become a day of entertainment necessarily, but it is the Lord's day. Thirdly, I want you to notice this now, some practical things. Go to Mark chapter 2. This is just some practical thoughts, and in a minute you're going to get to participate in the morning service, which is good to do. There's no visitors here that I'm worried about what kind of crazy thing will come up. That's why I usually don't take questions in a morning service, because you get a lot of guests and you could end up in a lot of trouble. Mark chapter 2, go to verse 25. The Lord's Day, third point, the Lord's Day is a means of grace to the child of God. The Lord's Day is created by God as a gift to us. It's a gift to us. All right, look in Mark chapter 2, verse 25. And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So, you know, Kyle and I actually talked about this before morning service, but what does it mean? The Sabbath, okay, this day was created for who? Us. Who created it? That's a means of grace. That is God. God's grace says you need a Sabbath. You need it. Listen, if it was up to every major corporation, we would work 7 days a week. Because they're driven by the dollar sign. God said, and we have an example all the way back to creation. He rested. He took a day of rest. God says the Sabbath is created for you and I. It is a gift from God to us. It is something that He has given us. The Sabbath was created for the benefit of man. The Sabbath should be a day of rest from this life and all its cares, and a day of worship of God. The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord. When men after due, this is paragraph number 8 of the confession. The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord. When men after due preparing of their hearts and ordering their common affairs beforehand do not only observe a holy rest all day from their own works, words and thoughts about their worldly employment and recreations, but are also taken up the whole time in the public and private exercise of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. And so he says, they say it's a time where they set aside all their worldly employment and recreations. They set aside all their thoughts and cares of this world. God says you need a day where you come out, you separate from it. I know some can't. And it seems to get worse. It seems like the more technology we have, the more places you work expect you to be working. Tim and Holly, they were actually with the readers this weekend. And all day, 7 days a week, he's getting emails. And they expect response. You know, that came up at work one time. You know, you didn't respond to an email. Pay me. Pay me when I'm at home and I'll respond to your email. The union stepped up. Big union man now. Hey, you want me to worry about that when I'm home? Pay me. I mean, there's an aspect that we're never disconnecting from our work. And Jimmy, he can't. I mean, he looks out the window. There's his work. But even that, you slow down on Sunday compared to other days. Unless out of necessity he has to do something. So, I mean, but this idea, God, they're recognizing, God says that this Sabbath is made for me. So when I toil and make the Sabbath to be one of the busiest, hardest days of the week, I'm missing out on the blessing that God created the Sabbath to be for me. So there's a third principle. The Lord's Day is a means of grace to the child of God. Fourthly, the Lord's Day is holy unto the Lord. Now, the word holy, you hear the word holy and you start picturing, what does holy look like? The word holy means set apart. It's a time, it means to be separate. The Lord's Day is a day that has been set apart to the Lord. The Lord's people are set apart to the Lord that is in His holiness. We are set aside for Him. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Look at verse number 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. He said, well, Pastor, that's referring to Israel. But we have the same connection in the New Testament. Romans 9, Romans 11, Galatians 3. The fact is, we are a people of God. We are holy. We are set apart to Him. Deuteronomy 14, he kind of gives the same idea in verse 2. For you are a people holy to the Lord. You are a people set apart to the Lord, your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the people who are on the face of the earth. We are God's people. This is His day. It is set aside for Him. So you're saying from the time I get up to the time I go to bed, I can only do spiritual things? I didn't say that. But I'm not going to neglect spiritual things for earthly things. That could be the issue. I'm just simply giving a principle here. We are the Lord's people. We are set apart to Him. As a set apart people, there is a day that is set apart for the Lord and to be a testimony to the Lord. We are a special people unto the Lord. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all the lawlessness and to purify Himself a people of His for His own possession, who are zealous for good works. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. So the New Testament uses the same language. We are His, and this is a day that has been set aside for us by Him to, one, rest, to rejuvenate ourselves, to take a break from the cares of this life, but also as a day to worship Him. My wife and I, our 25th wedding anniversary is this year. We're going to make it. If I don't choke to death and die here in the pulpit, we're going to make it. We plan to go to Hawaii. It's been the plan from day one, maybe after we've been married a year. She says, I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii. So we decided that will be our 25th anniversary accomplishment. We will go to Hawaii. We're looking at February of our wedding anniversaries in December, but we'll go in February. I'm already struggling with this because what I'm doing is I'm looking at dates. I'm going to the internet saying, I wonder if there's any races, maybe a triathlon in Hawaii, maybe a running event in Hawaii. I'm trying to do it on the sly, but she's kind of picked up on it. Yeah, we're not going there for that. We'll go there and look at dolphins, which I'm looking forward to do that too. But this has been a thing we have looked forward to. So imagine the horror when I tell her, hey, I invited Ted and Amy to come with us on this trip. Amy's like, she's good. You didn't know. Amy knows she's going to Hawaii. It's got nothing against Ted and Amy, but this is our 25th anniversary. And for a while there, I thought, maybe we should invite the kids. And then I woke up from my night, what are you doing, dummy? No kids. It's the kids why it took 25 years to be able to go to Hawaii. We're hoping they'll pitch in for it some, but. You know what? Let's invite some church folk. You know what? We're going to get there. We need to do ministry. We're just going to go find a soup kitchen volunteer at the homeless and stuff and help them. This 7-8 days is about Matt and Beth, period. And nobody would fault us as saying, hey, nope. Ted says, hey, me and Amy, that's a good idea. We're going to go. No, you're not going. We're not even telling you when we're going now. Well, no offense. This is Matt and Beth's time. The Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. This is His time. We have boiled down. It's amazing. In America, where they kind of recognize Sunday as church day, we are the worst people, though, about being time constrained on it, though. So you go to a country, I always use Iran, let's pick a different one, just Afghanistan. Christians there, the culture there does not recognize Sunday as the Lord's Day. It doesn't slow down for it, nothing like that. But I bet you those Christians will spend more time in worship than we do who actually have a day set aside for it. Most of us rush to get to church. And we don't start church as early as your job starts. And most of you will be watching that clock pretty soon about getting out of church. It's not the right attitude of the Lord's Day. We fit church into our day. It's not our day, though. The Lord's Day, a special day for His people. We are His people. It is a testimony. We literally are a testimony to the Lord. The Lord's Day is a day to remember creation, but also redemption. If you were to take time, go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. You always see the Sabbath talking about creation, but also in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12 to 15, it talks about it being a time to remember the redemption of the Lord. We gather here to remember the redemption of the Lord. We today are celebrating the resurrection. Not just one Sunday a year. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. The ordinances, the Lord's Day, the worship of the church points to redemption. Sunday should be a day for redemption remembrance. We should rejoice and be thankful for our salvation and the work of the Lord in redeeming us. We should keep the Lord's Day set apart for the Lord as a testament. Go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, verse 13. You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout our generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Tough sentence there, you know. If you profane it, death. But I want you to notice verse 13, what is it? It's a day to remember the covenant between me and God. Redemption. There's a principle here. This day should be a day of excitement and joy and remembrance and awe of God's redemption. The Lord's Day is a time of remembrance. Next, the Lord's Day is a day for the covenant assembly, the church, the body and bride of Christ to worship. And that is what we're here to do today. The church has had to fight. Listen, the church has had to fight for time on the Lord's Day to worship the Lord. That ought not be the case. Every decision we have had as elders over the last 3 to 4 years about what to do on Sunday always comes to a discussion of time. Always. Everything. What about doing this in a service? Well, then we've got to adjust this, and we've got time here. Next thing, I'm not preaching to 10 to 12, and then I've got to be out. Let me ask you a question. Why does the church, the covenant assembly, the bride of Christ, ever consider time as a factor on what it should do on the Lord's Day? We should consider time. I need to mow the lawn. I need to do 5 loads of laundry. And I want to go run 28 miles. I don't know if I got time to do that because this time is the Lord's. But it's the other way around. Let's add the Lord's Supper to morning service. Oh, there's another 10, 15 minutes because I'm not going to do a little 5-minute run through the thing and get out of there. We really should have more time of prayer. There's another 5 to 10 minutes. Scripture reading should be added. Yep, we should have that too. We've got to be out. Church starts at 11. We've got to be out of there 11:20, 11:25, or 12:25. Pushing it. But if this is the Lord's, the whole day belongs to the Lord, then second to that would be the gathering of the church belongs to the Lord, and time should never be a discussion about what we're going to do in the worship of God. We started at 9:45. Most of you get here, let's say 9:30-ish. We'll be out of here no later than 12:30, probably a little bit earlier today. So that would be 3 hours out of the entire Lord's Day. And we feel pressed to get that in. We feel pressured to do that. The church has had to fight for time on the Lord's Day to worship the Lord. And God forbid, we're one of those old crazy churches that comes back at 6 o'clock. Time has become a restraint when the time set aside for the Lord on the Lord's Day should never be a constraint for us. Why do most churches not practice fully and exhaustively all that would be in the regulative principle? I'll tell you why. Time. Time. Do you know why we do not practice fully? And I'm not talking just little snippets so we can check it off and say, yep, we did this. But exhaustively, true time of prayer. 10, 15 minute prayer time. You know why churches and we ourselves don't do that? T-I-M-E. I spelled it right. I wrote it down in big bold letters here so I don't misspell. It remind me to explain to you about DA later, okay? You'll enjoy it. If they haven't told you already. Time. So, real quick, church. You remember our series on the church? This shouldn't take long. What should the church be doing in its worship service? Tell me. Okay. Is there two P's or one? There's two? Thank you. Everything else is right on there? Okay. I just heard a chuckle on that. All right. What else should we be doing? Prayer. You should see, if you look at prayer, there's corporate prayer. You should have a pastoral prayer you'll see in Scripture. That's easy, 10, 15 minutes. Easily. What? Scripture's read, right? Repeatedly. Just the actual just reading of Scripture. Not the teaching, just the reading of Scripture. What do you say? 5 minutes? I mean, that's stretching. Man. That's a long passage. I mean, that's light. We should probably have a couple, but 5 minutes, okay? We're now at 11:20. We haven't even sang a song yet. Well, worship. Let's call that singing, even though I don't like. What do you have? 3 or 4 songs? 4. What's the average song time? I would say 3, because Lauren does long introductions and stuff. So 12. We're looking at 15 minutes. There, okay? Okay, we're 35, we're at 11:35. What else is part of the worship? Huh? Offering? I wish that was longer, but you guys are quick. But well, it's 5 minutes. What else? What's my average sermon? Where's, oh, I wish Tim's kids are here. They have it down to, Kyle preaches like 9 minutes longer on average than me. They've done a math study. At least they're doing something in church. What is my average sermon? That's not a half hour. Hour and a half. I'll go 40 minutes. Okay, so if we're at 11:30, 11:40, we're at 12:20 now. What else? Fellowship. Explain that one to us. Yeah. What do? It's at least 15 minutes after, and we say Sunday school's at 9:45. We never start to 10. So you're talking 30 minutes there. What else? Exactly. Why don't we do the Lord's Supper? How long does it take to do the Lord's Supper? Shouldn't be, but I would say that properly prepare our hearts, take the supper, minimum 15 minutes. That's pushing it. 15 minutes. Okay? So, 12:20, 12:35, because the Bryans want to talk. We're at 1:05. What else should we, are we supposed to, regular principles, should we have in our service? Baptisms? We add, oh man, no. We'll schedule that another day so that way we can, you know, prepare time for it. Here's one, mission letter updates. Is that part of the worship of the church? I think it is. Because you always see missions work in the New Testament. They report back to the church. If I read just one missionary letter a week, and we're looking at 5 minutes in the service, if we just did one a week. If we get 4 in a week, I usually wouldn't do that, because then the next week I might not get any. But let's just say our missions. I mean, let me ask you, are the O'Briens part of Grace Life and its ministry? Absolutely they are. So we should know. 5 minutes. We're 2 hours and 10 minutes into this. And in prayer, what if I stopped and said prayer request? That's going to drag prayer out another 10 minutes. But we have this time, church runs from 11 to 12:15. We can't do all that. In fact, when we do most of it, we don't exhaust it, though. We just, okay, we had a prayer time. Check, prayer was done. I grew up, Lord's Supper was at the last Sunday of the month. It was at the end of the evening service, 10 minutes at the most, 15 at the most. What about this, church? Oh, there's a good marker. Is that part of church? Yeah, discipline. What if we had issues we had to address? Well, we'll schedule a business meeting for that. I'm sorry, it's not part of a business meeting. It's part of the church worship. And when we think, oh, so we're voting people out? No, not necessarily. But it could be updates on members, people that are missing, pray about this person. You know, this person we've contacted with. You know, they're backsliding, this, whatever. Maybe instead of discipline, we just put membership life, you know? How do we do that between 11 and 12:15? We don't. So let's have a second service later, which we still, a lot of times we just repeat the main things in it. I'll tell you why we don't do this. It comes down to time. Time. Historically, I think I can prove it. They had, we like this, food. You think Charles Ingalls hooked up that little wagon, clippity-clop, all the way into Walnut Grove? They usually ate. He didn't hook it back up later. I think the church should gather for food. I think we see that in Scripture. Well, but you don't understand. I have a tradition every day at 12:15 I go to the Red Pepper. I have 6 days in the week to do that. But you understand, that's my family meal. You have 6 days. This is the Lord's Day. I saw a hand. Where's the hand? I saw a hand. Was she praising the Lord or asking a question? Did Gwen raise your hand? Yes. Huh? The catechism, the creeds that we did, that was 20, 30 minutes. At least it felt like that as a pastor. I'm back there like, okay, let's just have an invitation. I guess we're done. We forgot. He likes this. TED Talk. Ah. Infinity. You know, we don't know when that's getting over with, man. It was at least 5 minutes. We're not doing the history lesson because we weren't sure how that really fits into the corporate worship of the church. So we're going to look at, but he did the creeds, the catechism. I mean, those are all, we did our confession one time. All right. So that would be under instruction. In fact, biblically, I believe this preaching, there was preaching and then I believe there was a time of instruction. That was a give and take question and answer time. People's, I mean, you understand the early church, their services were informal in our mindset. There was a give and take. There was discussion going on. So not only is there the preaching of God's word, but I think a little bit of what we do in the adult Sunday school class kind of fits into that. We throw all that in there. We're a 3-hour church service. We're 3 hours. What's the purpose of gathering? To check the box that we had church service on Sunday, or to come and truly worship the Lord and grow as a people? The Bryans are here, so I use them as an example, but we should know more than the, I don't know, monthly, 2 month, whenever you'll send a letter, I'm not sure. We have today the ability as church missionary to know instantaneously needs and prayers and trials and struggles through email, just like that. Just like that. I can get my phone this afternoon, he'll be finishing up evening service. I can physically see and FaceTime Brother Fiocchi in Albania. That's an amazing ability. Imagine being William Carey. Months would go by before letters could exchange and stuff. I mean, the time they got your letter, you could have been dead on the field. They didn't know. We have an instantaneous communication that we do not use with our missionaries. We're going to develop, hopefully someone will take it. I don't even think they should get a prayer letter. We should get prayer letters from them. They should get prayer letters from us back. They should know what went on in Grace. I filled them in when they got here. How's it been going? I walked into my garage. I was working on my bike. And he said, how's it been going? And I thought, okay, do I give good or do I tell him the truth? I said, brother, it's been one of the most trying 6 months of our lives. Do they need to know that? They're a brother and sister in Christ. Absolutely. They know how to pray for a pastor of one of their churches and stuff. Then he gave me an Ohio State hat as a gift. I don't know how he thought that was going to help me get better. Took our mind up. But we walk in here on Sunday morning, and it is the biggest fraud in American history when we walk into the church doors and we say, everything's perfect. Welcome to church. I have it all together. I just talked to Kyle out in the hallway during Sunday school about some things with Brother Terry. We need, don't forget to pray for them. It is difficult. Yeah, but is that what church is about? Absolutely. But we don't want to be real. We want to be a facade of having it together. We're going to start Wednesday night. The ladies do once a month, the Wednesday night ladies prayer gathering. Is that once a month? We're going to have one Wednesday night men gathering. And it's going to be real, guys. It's going to be, how are you doing? How are you doing up here? I'm not mental. She's laughing. I know how I'm doing up here. The hamsters are going different directions. Be a liar if we gather the first time of 15 guys and not one guy says, pray for me. I'm having a thought life problem. You can't live in this culture and not deal with that. I have an anger issue. Pray for me. Why aren't we real with one another? It doesn't fit into the time. And we don't even do choir. Imagine if we had choir, then special music, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. I don't put choir in there because I don't see choir as a New Testament principle. I'm not against choir. Don't misunderstand me there. I'm just saying I think I can see special music as far as people are gifted with that. It can be a blessing to the church. I'm not against that. Okay. So let's just figure in here. I mean, special. And if I sing, it is special. 5 minutes for someone to utilize their gift in music to be a blessing to the church. But Pastor, time, I know. But again, we go back to whose day is it? So what if we gave 4 hours to the Lord? We still have quite a bit of the day. We should have a time of prayer. Let's see, this is going to keep rolling here. We should have a time of prayer for our missionaries in our service. Specifically, an update on whatever we have for that week, and then prayer. Whether it's just one missionary, we always pick one missionary a week. Do we still put that in the bulletin? I don't know. We have a. Does anyone know there's a missionary of the week in the bulletin you're supposed to pray for? Why don't we put all of them in there? Time. So we'll just pray for one this week. Sorry, O'Briens, we'll get to you in about 8 weeks when we come back through the cycle, because we don't have time to pray for all 10 missionaries, or however many we got. We got 12, I think. I forget. Why don't we just pray for all of them? Well, Pastor, time. Time. And I'm saying here, if you think I'm going to give this series and we're going to get into how many steps you can walk on the Lord's Day and whether you can throw baseball in the backyard with your son, which I would say is a spiritual endeavor in the idea, especially if you hit him in the head. But, I mean, if you're going to get out, it's father-son time. I think that's a biblical thing. It's a time for the family. Absolutely. I'm not going to give you, but I'm saying here, just in principle, this day is the Lord's day. Why doesn't the church, and by the way, historically, the church spent more time than an hour and a half in a worship service. All right, we're at 12. The Lord's day should be a day to minister. We started in John chapter 5, if you want to turn back there. In our series through the Gospel of John, we came to John chapter 5, and then we kind of took this excursion on the Lord's day a little bit. You know the story. The Lord comes, He heals the lame man, heals him, He picks up his bed, He's walking. The Pharisees see Him walking. Why are you carrying your bed? You can't carry your bed on the Lord's day. It's forbidden. Well, this man, I was an invalid, I couldn't walk. He told me, get up and walk. I'm now healed, I'm walking. So I picked up my bed and I'm walking home. Pharisees completely, I would have been like, whoa, what'd you just say? Nope, they're focused on He's carrying His bed on the Lord's day. That's the wrong attitude of the Sabbath day. I have friends that will not go to a restaurant on Sunday. I have no problem with them doing that. That's fine. But be careful, because the Sabbath day has a very enticing ability to make us Pharisaical. I drove by pastures, he's mowing his lawn today. Can't believe that. It's relaxing to me to mow my lawn. I didn't miss church to do it. My neighbor wasn't over there dying. Sorry, I can't help you. But if I can do that, I enjoy doing something like this. So be very careful. So they see this, and they're like, what are you doing? And look here in John chapter 5. Look at verse 15 and 16. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus. Listen, persecuting him because what? He was doing these things on the Sabbath. How dare you help someone on the Sabbath? I believe the Lord's day should be a day to minister, to be a blessing to people. Whether it's a lost member, a lost family or someone, or a lost neighbor that you minister to, have them over for dinner or something, or we get together as church people and fellowship together, it should be a day where we just minister grace to one another. We should fellowship around the creation and redemption of our Lord on the Lord's Day. So, in conclusion, I am not and will not get into the details, specific things you can and cannot do on the Lord's Day. However, I am telling you, you cannot ignore, though, the Lord on the Lord's Day. So just some principles, and just a quick review, okay? Principles for this day. Number one, it's the Lord's Day. So He gets preeminence. Well, I wonder if we should do this. Well, whose day is it? Can we fit it into this day? Fine. If you can't, His time does not get shortchanged for your time. Number two, the Lord's day is Sunday. Thirdly, the Lord's day is a means of grace. He said, the Sabbath was created for me. I needed this day. We haven't gotten into, you need a day of rest. The Sabbath is a gift from God to me. It's a day holy unto the Lord. It's set apart to the Lord. Fifthly, the Lord's day is a day to remember His creation, but also His redemption. And then sixth, the day of the covenant assembly, the church, the body of Christ to worship. Then lastly, it's a day to minister grace to others. There's your principles for the Lord's day. How's that look? That's your decision. Okay? I am not going to get into it. Some pastors do, and I just, good luck. Well, can we, I don't know if we're going out to eat afterwards. I haven't even talked about it. I don't think we should. Okay, then don't. I think family should eat together on Sunday. We do. It's even just two of us now. It's easier. Well, I think when you go home from church, you should spend time in scripture reading and prayer. You shouldn't do any physical labor. Then don't. And you should not. In your conscience, you would be sinning if you did. But not in my conscience. And you can't bind my conscience. I can't stress enough, be very cautious of taking the Lord's Day as the Pharisees did as a day to promote my spiritual self-righteousness. Well, we don't do that on the Lord's Day. Okay. We had a minister one time, guest minister, and he told me, he says, I don't eat that on the Lord's Day. And Brother Waldron doesn't either, but he said, if I'm with someone and they do, I don't worry about it. But this guy, the way he said it to me was just very condescending. And I thought, I'm just like, okay, see you later. Just left him standing at the church. Figure your own food out then, bud. I mean, but that's your conscience, it's fine. But you can't bind the conscience of someone else. But I do think we need to step back and think, wait a minute. Wife, husband, children, church, this is the Lord's Day. 6 days we have that is devoted to this world. And you understand what I mean by devoted to the world. Now, we're not living for the world, but we live for the world in a way. Function, we work, we pay taxes. That is 6 days. This day should be a day that's utilized for rest, for spiritual replenishment, for the worship, corporate gathering of the church, for the furtherance of the gospel, for the ministering to one another. That should be our focus on the Lord's Day. Let's pray. Father,